Well, imagine the disciples expecting to find a tomb with a body in it. They got there, and there was none. Jesus was gone. What could they do? The two disciples went. They saw that it indeed was empty, but yet Mary Magdalene stuck around. And Jesus met her and told her, "Go tell my disciples that I'm not here, that I'm alive." The Gospel of Mark says that they didn't believe. They needed other things to happen for them to believe, like Jesus walking into the room. Hey, man, I had you fooled for a second, huh? I was like, what happened here? Did he have to go to the bathroom or something? Or was there an emergency? But Jesus Christ, he wasn't in that grave. What were they going to do about it? Our gospel account today tells us that Mary Magdalene was there. And she stuck around when the other two disciples ran off. And her account, well, the account written of her is just incredible. That's where I want to focus at this morning, is verse number 17 in the Gospel of John. Verse number 17 says this. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Amen. There's three things I want to look at this morning dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the first time that Jesus ever referred to disciples as their brothers, as his brothers rather. It was amazing. You would have thought, surely he would have called them brethren before. He called them servants. He called them friends. He called them the ones that he loved. But he had never called them brethren before until he told Mary Magdalene to do so. He says, "Don't touch me not, for I am not ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them." You know the neat part that happened here? There was change. Keith sang that song, this changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. Now, God would not just be that man in the sky. He would be my God, just the way that Jesus looked at him as my God. He would also be my Father. And this extension was to all those who would believe. He would not just be that man in the sky, but he would be your Father.
Amen.
Amen. Mary Magdalene was, finally, she saw. She thought she was talking to the gardener, but she realized then with the words that this was indeed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice what she called him. She called him Master or Teacher. Rabboni. She recognized in the flesh that Jesus was that. But now she would also be called a brother or a sister because of the resurrection of Jesus. So we have three things that happened, and there's much more, but these are just three small things. So I won't take too much time. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It showed the evidence that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he forgave sin. And if you believe in that, you know what? You've been adopted into the family of God, where Jesus can call you brother. That was the difference now after the resurrection. He gave the evidence that we could have a vertical relationship with God. All things do become new. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some well-known verses we have here. Verse number 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them." What's the next part? "And rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." See, Mary and the disciples knew Jesus. They knew. They handled him. They ate with him. They drank with him. They slept in the same places as he did. They knew Jesus after the flesh, but they didn't recognize that he truly was God. They didn't recognize, even though he told it to them plainly, that he would suffer, bleed, die, and rise again. They didn't believe. That's where we have the ending of the Gospel of John in verse 20. Those disciples, doubting Thomas there, needing to see the nail prints in his hands. He needed that to believe. Jesus showed them. He did exactly the same. They were disassembled there. They were in dismay that Jesus was dead, though Mary Magdalene had testified to them. They didn't believe that. They needed those signs to verify who he was. He just showed up in the middle of all of them, and he gave these words, "Peace be with you." He offered them peace. He offers us peace today, and he gives us that evidence in the empty tomb, the same evidence he gave to the early church and to those disciples. Verse number 16, while we're in 2 Corinthians 5, or verse 17 rather, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
Amen.
You have a new perspective by being a child of God. You have a new lease on life, because you have eternal life now by being a child of God. So we're made at one, not at one, but we're made to have peace with God through Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Back in, while we're here at verse number 16, it says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." The other thing changed, not just vertically between God and man, the other thing changed was between believers. Between those in the church, we don't know each other after man. We know each other because of the love that God has given us. How shall they know we are Christians? They'll know we are Christians by our love. And that love is a unity, not based on just feelings and whatever you want to unite over. That unity is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that alone. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians for a second. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. She's saying, "Abba, Father." She's crying out, "Abba, Father." Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles," where? "In the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's a low state that we are all in without God. We've all had plenty of religion. We've all had plenty of self-righteousness and plenty of things that make us think that we know God, but actually we're just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They made up their own righteousness. And yet, the only righteousness we can have is that given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that was given to us. It was imputed to us at the cross. And the resurrection was this. It was God's seal of approval that this is true. It's the irrefutable evidence that Jesus came and did what He said that He would do. He came to make people justified. I like the old saying, Christ crucified, God satisfied, and the believer justified. That is the mission of Christ and what the resurrection goes to cement. It makes that sure. Who can argue with the empty tomb? Who can argue that all the other religious leaders and gurus around all have their bones in those tombs? But Jesus Christ, He's not only there in the tomb, or He isn't only there not in the tomb. He's different. He's ascended into heaven. He is still alive. That's the difference. We can sing that. He's alive. He still is. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Verse number 13 in Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes, and sometimes isn't just once in a while, sometimes were a scope of time, which is for all of your existence, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. He's the peace between Jew and Gentile. He's the peace between men and women. He'll ultimately be the peace over all the world as well, over the animal kingdom and all. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, made possible only by Jesus Christ. And just as He could call those disciples brethren, He can call you who believe brethren as well. As a matter of fact, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. These are the promises that we have from God. Oh, all by the resurrection of Christ. Verse number 19 says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know, I have my passport. My passport is all ready to give me admission to a foreign country. Amen? As a believer, you have a passport to be a citizen of heaven. Amen? Amen? It might not be stamped right now, but it is ready to be stamped when the Lord says, Come on home. Amen. Come on home. I have a place prepared for you. It was signed in my blood and verified by my resurrection. No strangers and pilgrims anymore, but fellow citizens who? With the saints. That's why the Bible is clear that we come together in church to serve one another, to love one another, to encourage one another into the image and likeness of Christ. He alone is the model. I'm glad that there's nobody sitting on a throne, nobody sitting in a chair, nobody sitting in an office that's our model, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we've been predestined to, is to be conformed into His image. That's why we get together and we preach Christ. We preach the Word of God. We don't preach our feelings. We don't preach the next greatest thing that's coming down the pike. But we stick with Christ and Him crucified. It's what Paul said, I was determined to know nothing except for Christ and Him crucified. It's worked good enough for 2,000 years. It's good enough today. The message of the cross, the message of the resurrection is still good enough today to redeem people, and it's also good enough to sanctify believers as well. Amen?
Amen.
Let's continue here, just a couple more verses. So with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Notice it's on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Guess what? There's no other foundation that can be laid. It's already been laid. Thus saith the Lord through His prophets and apostles. That's the only foundation that we need. Don't go listening to these people saying they have new prophets, new prophecies. Say, I'm a prophet for the end times. God has anointed me to give an end time message for the United States. You know what you can do with that? I need that Jeopardy buzzer. Cast that out. You can trust in the Word of God. This is what the resurrection of Jesus Christ shows. In whom all, verse 21, all the building framed together groweth unto a holy temple.
In the Lord.
In the Lord.
Amen.
Not in Rick Warren. Not in Joel Osteen. Not in Butch Samples or Jim Brandt or Bob Picard or anybody else. It's built as a holy temple.
Amen.
In the Lord. Yes, it's narrow. Jesus Christ is narrow. See, I've been accused of that being for Bob, you're so narrow-minded. I say amen. I used to get offended. I say amen. Think of this. If God weren't narrow-minded, you'd all be going to hell. You would take your self-righteousness, you would take your religion, and this is what would happen. God would give you that swift kick right into hell. But He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whosoever believeth on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, that's what the resurrection's about. I know I'll get some people angry, and people, the resurrection is about resurrecting your dead dreams. The resurrection isn't about bringing dead things to life in yourself. It's about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one who died, was buried, and rose again. And trust in Him. Four, number one, salvation, where it's a vertical relationship between you and God. And for sanctification, where you grow into that salvation. And you grow together as fellow believers, fellow citizens, and joint heirs with Christ. In whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Remember what the Spirit does? The Spirit testifies of Jesus. Just narrow that right down. Get rid of any kind of other thinking that says the Holy Spirit does more. He testifies of Jesus. He never elevates Himself. He only testifies of Jesus. So we have a vertical relationship. God now calls us, or Jesus says that He is both God and Father. Another thing, those are brand new things that happened because of the resurrection. And in closing, I want to have you turn over to Revelation chapter 21. I love going to the end.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Amen. Look at verse number 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Verse number 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son."
Amen.
Hold your finger there for just a second. This is exactly what the risen, resurrected Savior was saying to Mary Magdalene, that he'll be the God. My God will be your God. My Father will be your Father. It's given as a gift from God. Nothing to buy. You couldn't have all the money in the world to buy salvation. It came because of the precious, spotless Lamb of God suffering and bleeding and dying. That's the bottom line. I said, keep your finger there. Verse number 7 says, "He that overcometh." How do you overcome? Elsewhere it says, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. By believing the good news that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and was raised again. If you believe that, you are an overcomer. Amen? It doesn't get any easier than that. It's easy for us. Unfortunately, our hard hearts are often overthink things, and we don't want to know because of our sin that's in us. But overcoming, believing the gospel means the forgiveness of sin. Oh, no more doubt, no more shame. Jesus Christ took it to the cross and died for that. "I will be his God, and he shall be my son," if you're an overcomer. Verse number 8. I often love how the word "but" is placed in the scriptures.
Amen.
This particular one I don't enjoy. It's painful. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, "But the fearful and unbelieving." Stop there for a second. Think of that. There were disciples that were assembled with Jesus on a mountain. He told them to assemble in Matthew 28. It says some believed and some doubted. There were some right there that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, and they still doubted. Until after the resurrection, others would be hearing the testimony of the resurrection, and others would believe. It's tragic that so many people do not believe. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I need to read that to the Pope.
Right.
He just declared that people just disappear.
Right.
I wish people just disappeared who were sinners. But they don't. There's a lake of fire. There is literally hell to pay for your sins. Jesus Christ overcame that grave that was prepared for you to go to and then go to hell. He came. He died. Was buried. And rose again. For you. For me. No matter what sin. You think, boy, I'm too much of a sinner. There is no way that God could forgive me. That's putting an awful high view of yourself in the name of no self-esteem. It's a high view of ourself that we think a holy God couldn't forgive us. I heard a recent message that said something like this, that we all have a number. We need 100% righteousness to go to heaven, but we all have a number. Some of you are at 50. You need to grow and get to that 100. The Apostle Paul declared that he was the chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul scored a 0 on the righteousness test. I'm just like the Apostle Paul. We're all just like the Apostle Paul because all of us are unrighteous. But praise the Lord for the gospel, where the righteousness of God is given by faith. Amen. Imputation. I'll stay away from those big words right now, but
I like them.
Yeah, that's right. Brandon's here. He's Mr. Big Word himself. I love those. Propitiation, imputation. I love to learn those words. Soteriology, eschatology. One of the biggest ones I like to focus on is exegesis. What's in the Bible is true.
Amen.
We don't have to add to it, take from it, try to apply our own reasoning. It's true. Because it was put here by the apostles and prophets. And I'll trust what they say. Amen. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. How's the song? Hallelujah. Amen. I think we need to close in that song in a second. If, perchance, there's somebody, anyone, you could claim to be a Christian for 1,000 years and still doubt the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Or somebody that's never been around before, if you need to ask about these things, feel free to. But God desires all men to be saved. God desires all people to go to heaven. Otherwise, his death was in vain. Otherwise, the resurrection would mean absolutely nothing. To many in Israel at that day, it meant nothing. They just went on and on and on as if it were another day. But I'm so thankful for the few, the disciples, those 3 or 4 ladies that stuck by the cross, and the few disciples that went to the tomb. Otherwise, Jesus would have been the forgotten man. But we have a record of him. Let's go in closing once again back to John 20. John 20. I promise it's the closing of the closing. Gordon had read this just a few minutes ago. Verse 30 and 31. and many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. I have to pause there for a second. I think of, boy, imagine following Jesus around for a day. What an exciting life that would be, seeing him raising the dead, healing people, all these different miracles, breaking, making food, providing for 5, 10, 15,000 people. That's just the accounts we have in the Bible, but there were many other things he did that weren't recorded for us. Now, the opposite of the but in Revelation 21:8, we have another but. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Amen. Acts 4:12 says there's no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. Jesus alone. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Let's turn over to John 21, verse 24. It says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Amen.
After all, Jesus, he created the world. How many books could we have? How many do we have? But yet Jesus is the one that empowered all of the books to be written in the world. But these are written that you may have life in his name. Amen. Trust Jesus today. There is no other way. A believer today, if you're a believer, I have the same message. Trust him. We tend to want to trust ourselves, thinking that we know it all, but really, there is only one that knows it all. And he really does, the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't ask you to submit your entire life to him, because that would be impossible. That's making you into God. But just believe in his name. Amen.